Ever since I was a little boy, all I wanted to do was be an Army Ranger, jump out of airplanes, and live the life. I mean, we grew up under the G.I. Joe era in the 80s and be all that you can be, get an edge on life in the Army, that whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. So I drank that Kool-Aid. And in 1997, I went to West Point and I graduated in 2001. And then September 11th happened a few short months after that. I mean, everybody's life changed.
So tell me about your first deployment.
It was called Operation Winter Strike. So this is a very famous deployment within the Ranger Regiment within Special Operations, but they deployed us to Nuristan, which is the border of Pakistan, really high altitude mountain villages, and they sent us there to rout out all the Al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters from their winter safe havens and high altitude mountain villages. And so we drove the trucks as far as they would go. We got in helicopters and took them as far as they would go, and then we started walking. And it was eye-opening to live in those villages and see the absolute poverty. I mean, they're farmers and families, and they just do whatever they can to survive. And then, people float across the border and they have guns and they say, hey, we're going to give you $600 to farm this opium. And if you don't, we're going to come back. We're going to kill your family. And so what option do they have?
So how did you come to think during your time on that deployment and subsequently about what your relationship as a member of the military was to the people who lived in this country where you're fighting?
I really didn't think too much about it, to be honest. We were in special operations. We have a job to do. It involves very intense focus. But I have to say my fourth deployment in Iraq was probably the one that solidified it. And, we're the top dogs, right? And there's just no other way to say it. Like, if we're going to go after somebody, we're going to go get them. And we're a national level asset, which means we operate under the top tiers of the military or the White House. And we were going out and we were catching these kids. And like, literally, they're 14, 15-year-old kids with hand grenades and pistols. And, it came to a realization to me that, we are putting our service members in danger. We're spending our national assets to catch these youth that are just coming in from everywhere. And as long as we're over there in an armed capacity and women are giving birth to children, we're always going to have an enemy. Like, we're cutting the head off the serpent. This is an endless cycle that we're in. And so I didn't really know what we could do. There was no answer at the time.
So how did you even approach that question for yourself?
I did what I called emptied my karma cup, I believe, in service. And so I knew that I had to fill it back up. And I started working for a company out of Seattle called Remote Medical International. And I was the government sales manager, and I started traveling to war zones to put in clinics in support of government contractors working overseas. And when I was there, I saw businesses providing the best security and the best freedom for the people that were there. And I kept seeing this in Africa and Asia and throughout the Middle East. Long story, but I ended up in a combat boot factory in Afghanistan. I saw 300 people working, and I found out that they were going to go out of work when the war ended, and I wanted to do something to keep them employed. So we started a company making flip-flops in their factory.
And why flip-flops?
Because you don't really feel like fighting when you're in flip-flops.
Say more.
Like our tagline is bad for running, worse for fighting. Like, when you throw on flip-flops, you are making a conscious decision that you are not going to get into a fight. We're taking, this is the literal transformation of swords to plowshares. It was like also the political term of it too. Like, a flip-flop is somebody who takes a 180-degree stance change on a subject while argues that both are still needed. Like, we were at the top end of special operations, doing armed conflict on behalf of our country. And now we're going to go to the other side and say, nope, what we need to do is we need to do more business peacefully, but both are still needed. And so like the whole word, everything else all fit together, and it was fun.
So how did you start?
in my kitchen with my brother Andy and my Ranger buddy Lee. And we gorilla flip-flopped a trade show in January 2012. Some bloggers wrote about it, and we sold 4,000 pair almost overnight. And unbeknownst to us, because we had been focused on building a company, but the administration had announced the end of the Afghan war in 2014. Go figure, right? And so right as we were launching our company, all of the boot contracts for the factories that we were going to use got pulled. And
so they were going to be in parallel, kind of?
They were going to be in parallel. Like, yeah, if they had a break in the combat boot run, they were going to manufacture flip-flops, to keep the factory line running. And then hopefully over time, we would grow our product line and then flip-flops would grow and then boots would go out. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was just going to take time. And so we had a June, we launched the company in January of 2012. We had a June delivery, which then got delayed into July, which then got delayed into August. And then, Andy, my brother and I went down to that surplus store down near the Starbucks headquarters on First. And we bought as many duffel bags as we possibly could and then went to SeaTac Airport and flew to Kabul to go pick them up. And we got there and we found that they were, you know, thousands of pairs of beautifully assembled flip-flops out of bad materials. So our manufacturer of the raw materials had done a few things and we missed the quality assurance of it. And we couldn't ship them home. You know, people were paying $70 for these flip-flops. They maybe look like $10 flip-flops. And so you just can't do that as a company. So we opened the doors and gave them all away, wrote our customers and said, hey, like the footwear's bad. We'll figure this out. We found another factory. I leveraged every credit card I had and I maxed out everything that I could. And I bought 4,000 more pair of flip-flops myself. And then as those materials got finished, the factory in Afghanistan, the second factory we're going to work with closed. So we ended up shipping the container to my house and we built a Gorilla flip-flop factory in my garage in Issaquah, Washington. And with the help of friends and family, we manufactured 4,000 pair of flip-flops.
How, so when you're making the decision to do that, wasn't there a voice in your head being like, hey man, maybe you should do something else?
All the time. There always is, but it's weird how our company works. Like the positive emails we get from our customers are unbelievable. We had 4,000 people and we said, hey, your flip-flops are bad. We're not going to be able to deliver them for at least another 7 months. And we had three people ask for a refund. Everything else was positive affirmation. Hey, you guys are awesome. Keep at it. We know you guys are going to get this sorted. And we're just thankful for their support. And we call them the unarmed forces.
Do you think of this in any way as a repudiation of your earlier life as an Army Ranger?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier that I think that I emptied my karma cup when I was in the military and I'm doing my best to fill it back up and it really feels good. You know, everything operates in balance in life and I broke a lot of things and destroyed a lot of things when I was younger and I'm doing my best to build them back up and my team, a lot of the members of my team feel the same way too.
You must have plenty of military friends or ex-military friends. Did they understand kind of where you're coming from?
Oddly enough, the military and the military community has been the biggest supporters of our mission because it's really hard for most Westerners and Americans to be empathetic to the struggles that a lot of these cultures go through just because they haven't been there. So when we came out and we said, hey, like we're providing jobs, we're employing women, we're using our funds to educate little girls in Afghanistan, the military guys go, yep. That's what we should have been doing in those communities the whole time. I'm going to buy your product to support that.
So have you seen people wearing your flip-flops out in the wild?
Yeah, that is one of the fun things when we see people wearing our stuff out in the wild. I'll actually like almost spear tackle them in an airport. And I'll just, hey, come here. I want to take a selfie with you. And then they're like, what? It's like your flip-flops. And they go, oh, those are your flip-flops. Like, yeah, come here. And then they'll end up on our Instagram account. I love it.